Good afternoon. I'm Adam Ragusea, and it's time for you to ask the mayor. Kokomo Mayor Matt McKillop is on the line with us to answer questions about city issues of concern to you. Phone numbers to call to speak with Mayor McKillop are 877-285-9348. That's a toll-free number. A local call in the Bloomington area is 855-0811. You can always send an email to mayor@indiana.edu. We do check that email throughout the show. Once again, the phone number to call toll-free to speak with Mayor Matt McKillop is 877-285-9348. The email is mayor@indiana.edu. Mayor McKillop, I hope you're enjoying whatever sunshine you have in Kokomo, because it's a nasty day down here in Bloomington.
It's just beginning to get sunny here, Adam. Good afternoon. I'm looking out my window at some blue skies and some white wispy clouds. So send your people up here to Kokomo and they can get a little bit of sun.
Sure, yeah. Well, let's get right into it here. We've got a lot to talk about, I think. But just for the first question, I'll just ask, what's going on in Highland Park?
Oh, Highland Park, we're making an important improvement to the safety of the park. There is a road that goes into a section of the park. In fact, it goes to what we call Old Ben. It's the world's largest steer, and it's the number one tourist attraction in Kokomo. And on one side of the road, we have the Old Ben, let's call it a monument, and a extremely large sycamore tree that tourists like to visit. And on the other side of that road is a park shelter where families hold family reunions and people have meetings, and a lot of running events start there in our signature park, Highland Park. And we've got serious problems up there, one with people using that as a through street to cut through to one part of town to another part of town, and awful lot of speeding going on through there, which creates safety concerns, obviously, for the seniors and the kids and the many tourists that are up in that area. And unfortunately, like too many parks around Indiana, there are some unwanted elements that hang out in that section of the park in the evening. So we are actually changing the design of the road so that it's no longer a through street, but rather you can only come in one way, and it'll come into a cul-de-sac, and the tour buses and the cars then will go into the cul-de-sac and can turn around and go back down the other way, which will significantly slow traffic down, reduce the amount of traffic through that part of the park, making it safer, and then also make it easier for our police officers, if there is any unwanted activity up in that area of the park, to pull in, and basically the people who would be participating in it will be somewhat trapped. They won't be able just to sneak out the other side. So it's a major improvement for the park as a whole.
That's an interesting aspect of it. You've already torn up a bunch of the road. What's the timeline for the completion of the project?
Well, if it hadn't been for the rain we had this week and last week, it would already be done. So it's a little bit weather dependent, because you don't want to be doing too much cutting out of dirt or laying down blacktop when it's raining. So, for example, today, although it's nice, the guys are not out there working because it's drying out from yesterday's rain. And I hear it's supposed to rain the next few days. So maximum it was going to take a week in good weather. So we're into probably a couple days next week. It ought to be done.
Now, there was a bit of surprise on the part of the members of the Parks Board. I guess they didn't feel as though they were informed promptly about this project prior to it getting underway. I've read some statements from your city attorney. Seems to feel as though the mayor's office is on pretty solid legal ground just proceeding with this project as it's been done.
Well, absolutely. We did everything appropriately and correctly. And unfortunately, there's a couple members on the Park Board who are involved in political campaigns this year.
But not your wife.
Huh?
But not your wife.
No, I'm not. I'm not running, so she's not involved in any political campaigns. But there are a couple members who are, and they have chosen to make everything that's been going on in the park a political issue. And in fact, one of them has demanded two special meetings of the Park Board in the last couple weeks. And, you know, in the last 25 years, Adam, the Parks Board has only had three special meetings, and two of those have been in the last couple weeks, called by this person who is running for office and I think probably trying to get his name in the paper a little bit. So, you know, we did do everything properly. The Parks Board was notified in advance. In fact, they looked the plans of this project over in the year 2006 when it was proposed by the previous park superintendent. I was told that they liked the project then. They thought it was a good idea. And then before we executed the project this time, which was after their last park board meeting, the park board president was called and asked, you know, what he thought about the project. He said it was a good idea. And then the park board members were notified via email, you know, that the project was going ahead. So there was proper notification. It's just, you know, as happens too often, unfortunate politics that are being played on a board, and instead of looking out for the interests of the city, they'd rather play politics. But hey, in the end, the project's going to be done, and it's going to be a great improvement for the city. And bottom line, that's all I care about.
Do you have any concerns about the current the through traffic that's been going through that road being diverted to the outlying streets?
No, because the main road that goes through the edge of the park is called Deffenbaugh. It's the main east-west route, and that'll just keep the traffic on that road. To get onto this street, they had to come on Deffenbaugh anyway, so it's just going to keep the traffic on Deffenbaugh rather than having some of it diverted through this, you know, this area that needs slow-moving traffic.
Well, let's get away from the nitty-gritty municipal issues here and talk about some state issues that have a lot of municipal implications. The governor came out with his long-awaited total proposal for his plan for property tax relief last night. If you'll indulge me, sir, let me just review those recommendations with our listeners before we get your take on them. The governor proposed a system of a constitutional amendment that would be a system of caps for property taxes at 1% of the value for homeowners, 2% for rental properties, and 3% for the value of business properties. He's also calling for the state to assume the school general fund and child welfare expenses that are now, to a certain extent, largely paid by the state already through credits. The governor is also calling for the elimination of elected assessors, replaced by a single appointed assessor for an entire county, a bit of an expansion of the role of the county tax boards. And he's also proposing to make up the lost revenue by lowering those property taxes with a 1% sales tax increase. So, Mayor McKillop, just what are your reactions?
I'm pleased to see the governor making some bold proposals. It's something that's been needed for a long time. And like so many things that our governor Daniels has done, he's been willing to take some heat to make very bold proposals. And I think this is another case. Everything I've heard of this plan, I support it. I think it will be good for our cities. And some of the recommendations that the governor has made, our recommendations that the associations of cities and towns here in Indiana have been asking for some time. So I think this is a move in the right direction, and hopefully the legislature will move quickly and enact this and keep the politics out of it, because our homeowners need it. I mean, selfishly, I'll tell your listeners, my taxes went up 82%, my property taxes, and I personally need it. And I can tell you that homeowners in Kokomo need it. You know, they're tired of every year seeing their property taxes go up, and the governor now is giving the state legislature the option to enact some new laws that are going to finally give business and property owners long-needed relief. More can be done, but I understand that, you know, the governor's got to be politically astute here and move slowly and prudently, but I can tell you in Howard County, there's other things that could be done. I think we need to look seriously at merging our county and city governments. The city pretty much controls economic development and is the major driver of tax collections inside the county. I think we could save our taxpayers a lot of money by merging most of our government operations with the county, as has been done in Marion County. I also think, you know, he's looked at the assessors. I think we need to look at the township trustees. We've got far too many townships and township trustees and staff that's being paid that's keeping a lot of that money from going out and doing the good that it's intended to do. So I think those could likewise be consolidated to one per county. And we need to look at our school corporations, specifically in Howard County. We've got five, and we don't need five. We need one. So, you know, I think there's a lot of other things besides what the governor's doing today that could be proposed in the future, but that should no way inhibit the legislature from enacting these good proposals that he's put forth.
A lot of interesting points there. Let me back up for just a second. Earlier in the year, when Senator Luke Kenley was made his big splash by proposing just a perhaps just an elimination of property taxes, sowing the seeds for the formation of his tax and fiscal policy commission that's doing some work right now, you and I had some conversations where I got the sense that maybe you were a bit sympathetic to that notion of just doing away with property taxes in general. Are you disappointed to not see that in the governor's proposals?
No, I mean, sympathetic's one thing. I think we would all love that. But I, you know, as a person who came from business and has been in government now for 4 years, I honestly don't think that the people who are saying you can completely eliminate property taxes know what they're talking about.
Hmm.
I mean, they haven't studied the issue well enough. The thing that's good about property taxes is that they stable form of income where the income tax is not as stable. Sales and income taxes are not as stable for municipalities. So I think you have to have the right balance of the three, sales, income, and property taxes. But certainly in terms of the tipping of the scale, Indiana's been far too reliant for far too long on property taxes. So I'm not disappointed at all. I think this is a good step in the right direction.
And coming from business as you do, do you think it's a fair distribution of the burden for, under this proposed structure, businesses having a circuit breaker or a cap at 3% of their value versus 1% for homeowners?
Well, that one I'm not – I think the we'll have to wait and see because, you know, I've always maintained that businesses don't pay taxes. Their customers pay taxes. So if a business tax goes up, the customers in the end are going to pay that. So if the taxes go up on a business here in Kokomo, all of the Kokomo residents that frequent that business are likewise going to be paying those increased taxes. So that one I'm not so sure on. The rental property is being set at 2% in the governor's plan. That one I can agree with, and I'll tell you why. And rental properties for cities typically cause a lot more problems than owner-occupied properties.
Mm.
In fact, in Kokomo, we had to pass a rental and landlord ordinance to get a little bit more control and teeth against some of the slumlords in Kokomo who were taking advantage of their tenants and our city services and overusing the services and not paying for some of those services at all. So I think the landlords will get a little bit of break here with the governor's plan, but I think it's still appropriate that they pay a little bit more because at least in Kokomo, the rental properties tend to use a little bit more of the city services.
Let's talk about the idea of unifying city and county government. You know, I've been sitting here covering municipal elections in at least four cities over the last couple of months here, and the idea of instituting a Unigov-like system in Vigo County or in Monroe County and Howard County has all come up over the course of this election season. What do you think makes that idea particularly workable in Howard County and Kokomo?
Well, what makes it workable, just as what it's the same thing that suddenly makes the governor's plan workable, and that is taxpayer revolt.
Huh.
The taxpayers are fed up, and elected officials are you know, being voted out of office or going to be voted out of office if they don't do something about it. And I think that, you know, here in Howard County, we've seen the formation of one or two tax political action committees that are endorsing candidates and supporting candidates based on their positions on making government more efficient and reducing taxes. So that, to me, is the primary driver. I mean, when you've got, you know, one of the reasons the governor is acting is because people stood out in front of his house for weeks on end with signs. And that's also one of the reasons that local government is talking about things that in the past they wouldn't talk about. And, you know, unfortunately, it gets talked about a lot at election time. What we need to have happen locally in Howard County is for the people who get elected here next month to not renege on those promises and pursue and start having serious discussions here and at the state level about what we can do to make government more efficient by merging with the county areas where there's severe overlap of services.
I'd like to remind our listeners that we're speaking with Kokomo Mayor Matt McKillop here on WFIU's Ask the Mayor. Feel free to join the conversation. Call us at toll-free 877-285-9348. A local call in the Bloomington area is 855-0811. You can also send an email to mayor@indiana.edu. Now, Mr. Mayor, let's move on and go back a couple of weeks. The Kokomo Common Council did vote in favor of a local option income tax hike, thus effectively tipping the scales countywide to enact that tax. Right move or wrong move?
It was the right move to make, and when I met with the city councilman and the county council that supported this, I told them that I would likewise support it. In fact, I signed that ordinance, I think it was about a week ago, after it came to my desk. It's the right move because it's another measure, an action that we can take locally to reduce property taxes. And what I like about it is it specifically has an emphasis of reducing the property taxes on those hardest hit, and that's our senior citizens and those on fixed income who really never own their properties as long as they're paying property taxes. And since they are retired, they're not going to get hit on the income tax side. So I think that this is a very good move for Howard County, and combined with what the governor is proposing here in a few years, hopefully we'll all see some significant reductions in our property taxes.
All right. Well, let's get away from taxes for a little bit. It's been on all our lips quite a bit lately. let's talk a little bit about Kokomo's economy in respect to the auto industry. Chrysler workers, UAW workers in Kokomo voted this morning, I believe, to reject their contract being advocated by the International Union. What's the mood in Kokomo regarding Chrysler and the UAW?
Well, I haven't heard too much. Obviously, that vote was just taken last night. And haven't heard too much yet other than what I've read in the paper about it. Certainly haven't had any calls. Don't know the details as to why it was turned down. I've heard the same thing that you have about workers being concerned about the two-tier wage system. I'm just hopeful that at some point that the two sides can come to an agreement, because still, Kokomo is heavily reliant on the auto industry, and unfortunately, it's something that I've worked hard to change the last 4 years, and we've made progress, but a lot more progress needs to be made, and, as it was said years ago, as goes the auto industry, so goes Kokomo. So we need Chrysler to remain strong. They're our largest employer, and we need Delphi, who supplies an awful lot of parts to the auto industry, to stay strong and vibrant in order for Kokomo to stay strong. So I hope that the two sides will come up with something that's good for the long term and will help Chrysler be competitive in the global economy.
In your mind, is there anything that city government can do in the near or long term to make Kokomo, to keep Kokomo a good place for Chrysler and Delphi to do business?
Well, one of the things is to keep taxes low. That's always important. You want the cost of doing business in Kokomo to be as low as possible, but there are other things, and we have done a few things. You've got to be able to help them attract qualified, productive workers, which Kokomo's always been known as one of the most productive places to do business. We have a very skilled pool of labor up here, but we can do more. Unfortunately, Indiana has among the lowest education attainment levels, so government can offer scholarships. Government can do things like we did, Project Grow Kokomo, to attract higher educated people to Kokomo, because education level attainment levels are one of the most important things that employers look at as they expand. Tax abatements get talked a lot about in election time too, and people running for office who really don't understand how abatements work will often say that they're not good for a community, but I can tell you that for Kokomo, the abatements that we've offered Chrysler and Delphi have played a significant role in those companies deciding to expand here. In fact, we're working on one right now. So, I'd have to disagree with some of the people running for office who think abatements are bad for communities. They have certainly been good for Kokomo. So there are a number of things. You've got to keep your city looking good. I can tell you 4 years ago when our city government was nearly bankrupt and facing the possibility of not being able to maintain our streets and our sewers and our curbs and sidewalks, that Chrysler officials walked into my office when they heard that we were going to have to restore the tax rate to the levels before the budget errors were made, that they were supportive of that because they don't like to be in communities that are aesthetically deteriorating. And so cities need to continue to invest in their parks and in their sidewalks and their curbs and their sewer systems to be state-of-the-art if they want to attract businesses. So it's a multi-piece puzzle, and city government can play a role in many areas. But when it comes to things like contract disputes, I'm a believer that the best thing government can do is stay out of the way and let the two sides that are negotiating continue to negotiate.
All right. Well, that gives us a good segue into let's have a chat about politics. You're not running for anything right now, Mayor McKillop. That's got to feel pretty good in a way.
Well, it does. It gives you a different perspective when you sit back and listen to the debates and hear people make promises that you know they can't keep.
Sure. What's been most interesting about the mayor's debate in the last couple of months?
Most interesting. Well, just to hear some of the ideas that are proposed And, you know, I've heard a few good ideas, but to hear some of the ideas being proposed that are things that sometimes I wonder if the candidates have read the paper or bothered to talk to some of the people on the council, because they might find out that those things have either been implemented already or already proposed and decided they weren't workable. And, you know, I think that's the most interesting, just to be able to sit back and, you know, have already worn the shoes and to hear the two men that are wanting to wear the shoes talk about what they would do. It's interesting to hear it, because you get a little inside, I guess you could call it insider's view of what really will work and what won't work when you hear them talking about the ideas.
Obviously, the debate has been dominated by taxes more than anything else. Is there anything that's not being talked about in the public discourse surrounding the municipal elections in Kokomo that you wish people would be talking about more?
Well, first of all, yes, and you know, I'm writing a column for the paper, analyzing each of the debates, and still neither one of the candidates, and really none of the council candidates, have talked about what they envision this community looking like in 10 years, because that's what we need to be, you know, setting our targets toward, not what we are today. What does this community want to look like in 10 years? And then specifically, what are these men and women going to do to help achieve that vision? And unfortunately, you know, everyone's talking about one problem we have, and certainly a significant problem, taxes, but nobody's talking about what this community needs to look like and what kind of jobs it needs to have. And unfortunately, you know, the candidates like to stand up and say they're going to cut taxes, but they're never specific as to where. You know, what job are you going to eliminate? What service are you going to eliminate? Where are you going to make things more efficient? They just throw out, I'm going to cut taxes, and unfortunately they're doing that because polling data clearly says that's what people want to hear, but that's not leadership in my mind, just to say you're going to cut taxes. Leadership is creating a vision of the future, convincing people that that's the right place to go, and then paving a path for how you're going to get there and being very specific and diligent about the work to get there. And unfortunately, that's lacking in Kokomo's election and often lacks in elections all over the country.
Let's look ahead to 2008, talk a little bit about the 2nd Congressional District. Obviously went to Joe Donnelly in 2006, a Democrat. The first declared Republican candidate, Chris Minor, pulled out of the race late last week. I wonder what your take is on that, and is a Matt McKillop candidacy for the 2nd District in the works?
Well, you know, what is it? The politicians always say never say never. So I would never say never, and certainly I've been approached by people to do that, both before I declared my reelection as mayor and also after losing my election as mayor. There have been some that have approached me about doing it. But, you know, I think fundamentally the Republicans are having some difficulty fielding a candidate because the general consensus in the districts is that Congressman Donnelly is doing a pretty good job. And, you know, unfortunately our country's too mired up in Democrat versus Republican right now, and I'm a Republican, but I can tell you in the dealings that I've had with Congressman Donnelly, he listens astutely, he always takes time for me, he's concerned about Kokomo, and he's helping us deliver on the initiatives where he can. So, You know, I think that's fundamentally it. When you've got somebody, whether it's a Republican or a Democrat, that's doing a pretty good job, it's hard to field a challenger against them, and maybe you shouldn't, you know.
Interesting. Well, we'll look forward to seeing how all that shakes out. We've just got a couple more minutes of Mayor McKillop's time here on the show. Mayor McKillop, let's talk about stuff going around in Kokomo, Municipal Government Week. Tell us about that.
Yes. The week of the 14th through the 21st mm-hmm. this month was Municipal Government Week across the state, a time for our residents and our businesses and city government officials to recognize the people who go above and beyond and out there in the city every day to make sure that the city can provide the services that our residents depend on. And we did that by collaborating with a local newspaper to do a whole section of the paper where we highlighted really jobs that folks may not realize the city does out there, like, you know, painting the lines down the middle of the roads or controlling our traffic signals or painting the curbs yellow on the corner. And all of those things, if they didn't happen, would create chaos on our streets. So this edition of the newspaper did a great job of showing what life would be like if some of our dedicated employees were not out there every day in very dangerous and rough conditions doing their jobs. So we did that, and then we recognized two long-serving city employees with keys to the city, and that was Jeff Rudolph and Lane Robinson, who served under many mayors and done an awful lot of good for our city. And it was just an appropriate way to recognize the contributions of all of Kokomo's municipal employees as well as the municipal employees across the state that serve us very well and who I can tell you get very nervous when they hear these talks of changes in the tax laws and you know, politicians saying they're going to cut budgets, because in the end that probably means jobs somewhere for some of them.
One of those people who served the community so well was 34-year Kokomo Police Department veteran Jack Adams, who died unexpectedly last week. Flags were at half staff on Monday, correct?
They sure were, and you're right. You know, Kokomo lost in the state lost a fine public servant when Jack Adams passed away, and he had just retired, I believe, back in May of this year. Mm-hmm. So unfortunately, Jack didn't get to enjoy that retirement as long as he deserved to, and our community wishes his family well, and they're all in our prayers, as is Jack, and he'll always be remembered as one of the greats in the Kokomo Police Department.
Well, sir, anything else you'd like to bring up in our remaining minute?
Well, I sure would. You know, I'm always telling you Kokomo's a great place to come and visit, and we've got a unique exhibit going on right now in downtown Kokomo that I want your listeners to come to. It's called The History Train. You will remember a few months ago Kokomo had the Arch Train here. Well, now we have the History Train downtown at the corner of Buckeye and Taylor Street. And Thursday, Friday, Saturday, from 9 in the morning till 6 in the evening, people can come downtown, board the train, and learn about the faces of Indiana's Civil War. So come on into Kokomo, visit our great downtown. We've got nice restaurants and shops downtown. And while you're down here, make your way over to Buckeye and Taylor and see the Indiana faces of the Civil War in the History Train.
The Honorable Matt McKillop, thank you so much, as always, for taking the time to speak with us.
Thank you, Adam.
Yeah, stay warm up there.
We will. Take care.
This has been Ask the Mayor with Kokomo Mayor Matt McKillop. I'm Adam Ragusea. Join us again next week. Columbus Mayor Fred Armstrong will be our guest here on Ask the Mayor. For engineer John Shelton and producer Colin Bishop, I'm Adam Ragusea. Thank you so much for listening.
Support for this public radio podcast comes from Acura, featuring the TL Type S with a 286-horsepower V6 and real-time traffic alerts. Learn more at Acura.com.